Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show and our discussion with my guest today, Steve Ross, who is the Supervisor of Behavioral and Cognitive Research at the Lester E. Fisher Center for the Study and Conservation of Apes and Lincoln Park Zoo. Our phone lines are open in case you'd like to ask a question. The phone number is 888-463-6748. We're going to talk about the, some of the negative effects regarding the issue of conservation of chimpanzees because of some of the perceptions we have in the media. And Steve, you also have an article you wrote called Inappropriate Use and Portrayal of Chimpanzees. And as soon as I get permission to download that article from the magazine that it's from, we'll make that available for the public. But you talk about a study that was conducted that was interesting in determining what people really think about chimpanzees. Are they endangered or not? Can you tell us about that?
Right. Well, you know, I think I mentioned once earlier that I, you know, listen to a lot of conversations that go on here at the Reagan Science Center for African Apes as people watch chimpanzees. And it became really clear that people were surprised when they saw chimpanzees and how big they were. And it did get me to thinking about, you know, what is shaping their perceptions of chimpanzees. So what we did is we conducted a fairly big survey here at the Reagan Science Center for African Apes in which we surveyed 1,000 people through the building, and it was relatively simply put together. Though it showed them three pictures: a picture of an adult orangutan and a gorilla and a chimpanzee. And we went through each of them and asked participants to identify whether or not they were endangered. And then we recorded the answers, then informed that in fact all three of these apes were endangered. And if they ever mentioned that any were not endangered, we asked them why they thought that. So what happened was that about 95% of people knew correctly that gorillas were endangered, and over 90%, I think 91%, knew that orangutans were endangered, but only 66% of people thought that chimpanzees were endangered, very different from the other ape species, and I thought quite a statistically different difference as well. And when it came to the follow-up question, in which there was no lead-in at all, we simply asked the question and they could talk about whatever they wanted to. We said, you know, why didn't you think chimpanzees were endangered? Those people that identified them as not being endangered most commonly responded that they had seen them on television and in movies and in advertisements, and so therefore figured that they weren't endangered. And so, you know, this was an important link because this made us realize that because of these frivolous media portrayals, people were not valuing chimpanzees the same way. And I would assert that if people don't think that chimpanzees are endangered, they're probably a lot less likely to give to organizations supporting chimpanzee conservation.
Plain devil's advocate, if we do have the situation where it's that double division, that they're endangered in the wild but not in captivity, what is the reason why people should care then about the fact that we have chimpanzees, you know, kept as performers and as pets, if it's only in the wild that they're endangered? And, well, they probably figure there's plenty of them in the wild.
Well, you know, the split classification for chimpanzees is a bit of a vexing issue, but I think it really probably doesn't apply too much here. Chimpanzees are really quite endangered in the wild, so the fact that people are seeing these images of captive chimpanzees and making generalizations about the wild populations is an important link. And we also have to keep in mind, and I don't want to overshadow the fact, that there are all the welfare components that we've talked about already, that these portrayals are not only affecting the way that we feel about wild populations, but those individuals themselves involved in these media portrayals are probably not reared under the right welfare conditions and have a very bleak future ahead of them when they become 10, 12 years old, unmanageable, and, you know, with no great future ahead of them. So I think it's very important to understand that whether they have a split classification that frankly no one really knows about, mm-hmm. Or not, it probably doesn't matter in terms of these questions of welfare and conservation.
Good, thank you. That's an important point to make. And on the show that I was referring to earlier that was talking about this Chimp Eden, the sanctuary, they're mentioning that these were abused chimps that perhaps had been kept, I don't know, in some zoos or, you know, not accredited, not very reputable places, or by private owners. And as you said, they were wonderful and cute little, but then when they became older and unruly, as often people do with pets that they can't handle when they become adults, they want to give them away. And first of all, I want to point out that we're not in any regard saying that it's okay to take on a little cute, you know, young chimp and take care of them and just, you know, not deal with them as an adult. You know, I don't want, we don't want to get that impression.
And in Africa and in the United States, the fact of the matter is that there aren't options. If you were so ill-guided as to make that decision, in many ways, chimpanzees who live into their 40s and 50s, there are so few options to then move them to any sort of reputable place that you have made a decision that will not only impact your own health, your own safety, but the life of that chimpanzee for the next 40 or 50 years. It's a decision that I hope people will carefully consider when they understand the facts.
Let's talk about the wild chimpanzees. What are some of the numbers, Steve, if we can say, and where do they live? What is their natural home in the wild?
Well, chimpanzees, like bonobos and gorillas, the other African apes, live only on the continent of Africa. They live across the sort of the middle swath of Africa, from a country as far east as, say, Tanzania, but all the way to the west coast, on the Ivory Coast, right across that equatorial band. Their former range extended about that wide as well, but extended a little further north than they do right now. But the big difference between their range, just say 50 years ago and now, is just the diffuse nature of the population today. Whereas chimpanzees were very commonly found throughout all forests in a number of countries, now they're very scattered, to the point where just about 50 years ago, we estimate there was probably a million chimpanzees living in Africa, and now there's likely less than 200,000, maybe as low as 130,000.
I read somewhere that within a decade, they could become extinct in the wild.
They're saying now that all the great ape species are certainly within danger of extinction within the next 20 years. It's so difficult to project these things. Certainly there are other ape species with less numbers of individuals, but chimpanzees are actually the species that's dropping the fastest.
Why is that?
Well, part of the reason is they're sort of cursed by their very hardy nature. Chimpanzees, one of the reasons they're used in biomedical research, actually, is because they're so hardy. They can survive a lot, and sometimes I have to wonder myself how chimpanzees can endure hardships that I see in some of these pet chimpanzees that live in basements and in very poor conditions. And in many ways, this hardiness makes them very attractive to be taken from their mothers as orphans in the bushmeat trade, but then survive the trip to make it to the market to be sold as a pet.
What would you say is some of the future that we could anticipate for this country's common way of thinking that they can be entertainers and used in the media? Do you see any changes happening as far as is our understanding of that practice?
Well, I think like anyone, I have days of optimism and days of pessimism.
Mm-hmm.
We went several years recently without having a chimpanzee in a Super Bowl commercial. I think we had three consecutive years, and I really felt we were headed in the right direction because of evidence like that. And of course, this year there were two different commercials with chimpanzees, unfortunately. But I do get a sense that thanks to the education role that places like the Association of Zoos and Aquariums are doing, that people are starting to get a better sense of what chimpanzees are, what their status is in the wild, and then most importantly, the very sort of complex nature of chimpanzees and the needs that they have and the importance of providing them good care. And so it's a very difficult thing to predict, but I'm encouraged more and more as I talk to people, and I find myself less needing to remind people that chimpanzees probably don't make good pets, mm-hmm. and more inclined to explain to them sort of the complexities of the problem that face us right now. As I mentioned, there are over 200 privately owned chimps out there right now, and trying to figure out what the future holds for them in the next 40 or 50 years in a situation where the zoo community really doesn't have any room for these extra chimpanzees, and neither does the legitimate sanctuary community. And so we all have to think carefully, as a community of primatologists, but also the general public, what is going to happen to all these chimpanzees that very quickly might need homes in the future.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know on Animal Planet there's going to be a series about that sanctuary I was talking about. It's going to be called... oh, dear. Oh, well, I'll have to look that up. But it's going to be talking about the chimps at Chimp Eden.
Right.
And how does it come about, though, that someone acquires a chimpanzee as a pet? And I'm not saying this to promote, to teach people how to do this, but how does this happen?
Well, in the United States, as I mentioned, there are breeders that sell chimpanzees. Typically, chimpanzees cost in excess of $50,000 for a baby chimpanzee, so that cuts the market probably there. But it is currently legal to breed and sell chimpanzees as pets in most circumstances, and that's unfortunate. But I can tell you about some current legislation that's currently under review. There's a bill called the Captive Primate Safety Act. It made it through and was approved by the House of Representatives, is now under review in the Senate. And what this legislation will do is to restrict the interstate transport of primates as pets. That means that if you are in Illinois and you want to buy a chimp in Missouri and then take it home back to Illinois, that you would be regulated and hopefully prevented from doing that. So, of course, this is a bill that's under consideration, and as such, I would hope that listeners who are concerned about these issues would contact their senator and ask them to support this bill, which is terribly important in sort of beginning the regulation of what is now a virtually unregulated trade in primates.
That's great, Steve, because my next natural question was going to be, if people like me really are now just becoming aware of the situation and are kind of surprised or dismayed at this, what could the public do? You mentioned one thing, yes, get kind of involved writing our politicians. But as far as entertainment in the media, is there anything that the common individual can do to change a little bit of that climate?
There's probably only one currency in the world of of entertainment and of commerce and so on, and that's money. And I can tell a story. A few years ago, I thoroughly enjoyed my DiGiorno pizza, the frozen pizza company, until they started using ads with chimpanzees, and I chose personally to stop using that product. And whether my choice to stop eating DiGiorno pizza was ended up having any direct influence, it's difficult to tell. But I can tell you that if enough concerned citizens spoke using their wallets, I think that would have a very serious effect on the way that advertisers and media executives think about using different animals in their advertisements and so on. I can think, specifically. It wasn't that long ago that things like ivory and nets that caught dolphins were, only thought of by a select group of people. But I think it's really in part of the public consciousness now. And if we can make the use of chimpanzees in advertisements a real issue that's at the top of everyone's mind, I think that advertisers will have no reason to actually make the investment to use chimpanzees.
You also write in one of your articles about an advertising campaign that actually dropped the use of chimpanzees. And then I think there's another organization that you mentioned that also stopped using their images. Can you address those a little bit?
Yeah, there have been companies that have simply just stopped doing their campaigns with chimpanzees. But perhaps more optimistically, there are companies that have outright said, not only are we going to stop the use of a particular campaign with chimpanzees, but they have pledged not to use chimpanzees or other primates in future campaigns. So Subaru, the automaker, is an example of one company that has said that. And I think this is really brings me some optimism that companies are thinking about these issues, these sort of ethical and moral issues that surround the use of chimpanzees. And today, in the day of very advanced computer graphics, if anyone has seen the movie King Kong, I mean, you can make a computer chimpanzee look and do all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't address the frivolous nature. I would hope that computer graphic chimpanzees won't be dressed up in tutus as well.
Right.
But it does address the welfare issues. And I think there are plenty of alternatives, and I would hope that in the near future, our society can advance to the point where those images themselves, whether they're computer-generated or real, simply aren't acceptable. We're able, this country has shown great growth in the past 100 years, moving past various sort of social milestones, and I would hope that this would be one of them as well.
Are there other efforts besides Lincoln Park Zoo or other organizations worldwide that are banding together to change this, you know, bring about this change in consciousness about chimpanzees?
Yeah, there are a lot of organizations who have grown to become very concerned about this issue. Of course, Lincoln Park Zoo's efforts are supported by our organization, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, who are very concerned about that issue, as well as other sanctuaries who are stepping up in this effort as well. Chimp Haven, the national sanctuary in Shreveport, Louisiana, is another organization that has spoken out against this issue. And so I think together, as these expert organizations grow and start expressing their displeasure with this practice, the International Primate Society and the American Society of Primatologists, all of these organizations speaking out together as a single voice against the practice, that's where we're going to start seeing the movement.
Thank you, Steve. My guest today has been Steve Ross, Supervisor of Behavioral and Cognitive Research at the Lester E. Fisher Center for the Study and Conservation of Apes at Lincoln Park Zoo, and also the Chair of the American Zoo and Aquarium Association's Chimpanzee Species Survival Plan. You can read one of his articles about the media portrayal of chimps on my website, wildaboutpets.net, under the show topic on the Look While You Listen page, and you'll also find a link to Lincoln Park Zoo, where you can also read more information about the work Steve and the zoo are doing in behalf of chimps. If you are in Chicago, you've got to stop and visit the Reagan Science Center for African Apes at the zoo. You can see up close two families of gorillas and one family of chimps that live there, and you'll see how this remarkable building was designed for the mental, physical, and emotional welfare of the great apes. Lincoln Park Zoo is one of the remaining free zoos in the country, which is wonderful. I do want everyone to know, however, there is a parking lot that is on the east side of the zoo next to the lake. This is a paid parking lot, but the zoo admission is free. So if you do not want to use that paid parking lot, there's plenty of other areas around the street to park. Again, the zoo is free. It's a little oasis in the middle of the city. So not only does it have this great Regenstein Center for African Apes, but it's a beautiful garden oasis. Make sure you stop and see there. Thank you again so much, Steve Ross, for being here on the show today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
If you like reptiles and want to see all sorts of them up close, and you're in Chicago this weekend on either Saturday or Sunday, April 3rd or 4th, you may want to stop by the Reptile Fest, which is an event hosted by the nonprofit organization, the Chicago Herpetological Society. Now, this is not a place to buy reptiles. There are no sales at this event. It is strictly an educational event for the whole family. I'll be there on Saturday conducting interviews. For more information about their event, see their website, chicagoherp.org. I hope to see you there, and thank you so much for listening today.